positive enlightenment. All you need in one place, here at HRNradio.com.
Hey there, and welcome back to the Dr. Teresa Nicasio Show. This is a place of inspiration, education, and hope for a kinder, healthy, and more sustainable world. On this program, we talk with local and international thought leaders like we have today about the things that matter most to you. Our guests also offer practical solutions to the toughest and sometimes hard to talk about controversial problems we're all facing and other things that we maybe just don't want to think about. This program, though, is made possible because of the generous support of our terrific show sponsor, New Roots Herbal. They're the Canadian makers of high-quality, non-GMO natural health products we know we can trust. To learn more about New Roots and its great line of products, visit their website at newrootsherbal.com. And if you'd like to advertise on or be a sponsor for this show that has a reach of well over 350,000 monthly listeners, contact me directly through my TeresaNicasio.com website. And that's spelled T-H-E-R-E-S-A, N like Nancy, I-C-A, two S's, S-S-I-O as an octopus, .com. Today we're continuing with our Sustainable Living series, and I can't tell you how excited I am to have our very special guest with us today. This show is so packed with goodies that you're going to love. We actually decided to make it a two-part holiday series, both today and next month, so that you'll be able to get as much of the goodness as possible. And this is the first time ever, and actually this month, this is our two-year anniversary of the show. So we've had, I think, almost 60 shows now over the past 2 years, and it's wonderful to share this holiday series to kind of mark that awesome anniversary. Before I tell you more about this super inspiring woman that we have with us today, you might want to buckle up because you're about to be blown away by her story that she's soon going to be sharing with you and where especially where it's taken her. When I told my partner Eric about Catherine, who we have with us, my husband's actually an environmental scientist, and he couldn't believe it. He said, "That's impossible. She can't possibly do that." But she does. She really does. So you're going to be enjoying hearing about this really incredible woman that's going to hopefully put a few bees in your bonnet and excite you about what else you might be able to do on your journey as well, helping this world be a better place. So I'm going to tell you about our special guest. She's a professional actor turned internationally recognized zero waste blogger and environmental activist. And she became this after a breast cancer scare in her early 20s. And so Catherine Kellogg, along this journey, after she had this cancer scare, she ended up becoming passionate about health and especially about the dangerous implications of plastic waste and other toxic chemicals that are in our environment and in our food and we put on our clothes and we put on our skin and so forth. So in her effort to help make the world a healthier and more sustainable place, Catherine breaks eco-friendly sustainable living down into an easy step-by-step process that oozes with positivity and love. It's not preachy. It's none of that. It's just all about love. Her discoveries led her to become the founder of Going Zero Waste and author of her upcoming book, 101 Ways to Go Zero Waste. You're going to be hearing more about that later today as well. You probably already know Catherine from her work that's been featured around the world through her extensive media appearances, like on CNN, National Geographic, Martha Stewart, Good Housekeeping, Real Simple, The Guardian, Fox News, U.S. News and World Report, Mind Body Green, MSNBC, Global News, Insider, Times Herald, The Refinery 29. I could go on and on and on. And I have a bit of a frog today, excuse me. While her personal journey led Catherine to reduce her personal trash beyond what seems possible, as I mentioned, my husband was like, "What?" With all of her, you won't believe it. So all of her trash for over 2 years, like 2 or 2.5 years, she's able to fit in a single 16-ounce mason jar. This is just amazing. But, you know, so she has this way of living, but she's also compassionate about how challenging it is to to make life changes, make lifestyle changes like this. So she doesn't expect perfection. She doesn't expect us to be like her, but she's learned a lot along the way, and who knows? Who knows what might be possible for each of us? So just we're all trying to help the world be a little greener, and her approach and her brilliant do-it-yourself hacks, she is so generous with sharing those that you're going to be you're going to enjoy them, and you're going to be so excited when you see what she has to offer. She inspires and excites everyone who knows her. So today, Catherine's going to be talking about fun and simple ways to reduce or even have zero waste while still having a blast during the holiday season of all times, regardless of how and what holidays you celebrate. So I want to really point out that, you know, we don't all celebrate the same holidays, but we all celebrate holidays, and there's a lot of common themes. So if we're talking about a particular holiday, I know that a lot of the work that our guest has done, she talks about Christmas and New Year's, but, you know, you may celebrate Diwali, you may celebrate Kwanzaa. You can apply the same principles to all of those. So, Catherine, thank you so much for joining us today.
Thank you so much for having me.
Yay. Before we get into nuts and bolts, you know, I always like to start with a why, because I think our listeners appreciate getting to understand where the heck did this passion come from. So can you start off by sharing with our listeners a bit about how you became so passionate about waste reduction, and especially about plastic waste?
Yeah, so, you know, I always joke that you definitely don't have to be born an environmentalist to become one. So I'm from Arkansas, which is a state in the South that isn't necessarily known for being the most progressive or the most green state in America. We didn't have recycling as an option until I was probably graduating high school. I didn't know what recycling was until I was in college. So
amazing. That is amazing, seriously.
Yeah, so just so you know, you don't have to be born into, like, some hippie family to be able to appreciate the world. I personally find myself to think that my environmentalism switch was actually rather selfish, because I firmly believe I'm a self-preservationist. I like clean air. I like clean water. I like shelter. So in that sense, I feel very motivated to take care of the environment, and I think that a lot of us can agree on that. I think a lot of us can agree that we want to live in a healthy and clean world for ourselves.
Right. Yeah.
And so,
well, you know, you're so young too. I just want to say, it's not like you're my age. You're in your 20s, your mid 20s, and so that really, it says so much what you're just saying. You didn't even know what recycling was until you were in college. That's crazy.
And from the time I was 3 years old, I always knew that I wanted to be an actor. I never once questioned my life path. I was going to be an actor, and that was it. I went to school for acting, and when I graduated, I was a professional actor. And then, you know, in college, though, when I had this breast cancer scare, it really just completely turned my whole world, like, upside down. And I was trying to make a lot of these changes. And being an actor, actors aren't really known for making a lot of money.
Right.
I was making $250 a week.
Wow.
Living in actor housing. And I started making so many of these changes out of financial necessity, too. So I was looking at my own health, and I would go to the farmer's market. And, you know, it was cheaper for me to connect with a farmer. I could get a lot of my food not in plastic. I was eating a fresh, a healthier diet. I was trying to cook more from scratch. I have had an allergy to dairy almost my whole life, and dairy is, like, in a lot of things. So, you know, cooking from scratch was something that I definitely did a lot of. And then making my own cleaning products, because it's just so much cheaper to make, you know, a cleaner that's with half vinegar, half water, and it works amazing, and you don't have to worry about what you're spraying. And what I learned is so many of these switches I was making were better for me financially, they were better for my health, and they were also better for the planet.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. Well, you know, for her blog, and I on the wetteresanacosta.com website, as you all know, I create a page for each of the guests. I had a blast putting together your page together, Catherine. The amount of YouTubes that I was able to embed, I didn't put everything on there. I mean, but it's like she is so generous. And, so you're probably wondering, well, gosh, I don't have money. And that's a question a lot of people ask me. If you don't have money, how can you eat healthy food? How can you eat organic food? How can you, eat clean and live clean? And basically, Catherine holds your hand and gives you every recipe, even for things like deodorant and toothpaste and things like that you assume you have to buy. And you actually can save tons of money using these hot tips. So I want to thank you. Just from a very personal place, Catherine, I want to thank you for being so generous with everyone in sharing all of these and putting yourself out there.
Thank you.
Yeah. So when you had the scare and then you started realizing you really wanted to eat clean and trying to figure that out, there was something else when you and I were chatting you mentioned was talking about plastic and that was one of the first things that caught your attention and about endocrine disruptors. A lot of our listeners probably have never even heard the term endocrine disruptor. So can you talk a little bit about the whole deal with plastics and why it was relevant when you had that cancer scare?
Yeah, so I left one of my acting gigs, and I had met my husband. We were just dating at the time, and it was really wild. He asked me to move with him to California, and I thought, why not? So I moved to California, and when I got out here, I'm still in California, and I noticed all of the litter on the streets. If you've been to the Bay Area in California, there is litter everywhere. It's awful. And I learned more about plastic in the ocean and how even if you live inland, like in Arkansas, all rivers lead to the sea. So all drains lead to the rivers and all the rivers lead to the sea. So no matter where you are, if you're littering, it's going to probably wind up in the ocean. Mm-hmm. And that's when it all clicked for me that plastic wasn't only bad for my personal health, it's also extra bad for the planet because it can't biodegrade. It doesn't go back to soil. It photodegrades, which means it just gets smaller and smaller and smaller until it's so microscopic that it's currently in 84% of drinking water worldwide. It is so microscopic, we cannot filter it out, and we're drinking plastic in our food chain. And I personally find that to be a terrifying statistic, and I hope that we can reverse that because I don't think it's very healthy for us to be drinking plastic because plastic is made from oil, and in it, you have to add a lot of things to make it flexible or to form it, phthalate. I'm sure most people have heard of BPA or BPS, and those are endocrine disruptors, which mean they interfere with our hormones. They're synthetic estrogens, and so it just sends estrogen signals to our body, and it's confused because we have these synthetic estrogens, and it's like messing up the way our body communicates, because that's what the endocrine system is. It's communicators. Mm-hmm. And so having had a breast cancer scare and having way too much estrogen in my body, I have estrogen dominance, which just means my body produces way too much estrogen, and adding in all of these additional kind of xenoestrogens or synthetic estrogens is just extra bad. They shouldn't be there. And so when trying to balance my balancing my hormones, trying to remove plastic from around my food was a priority for me.
Mm-hmm. Well, and a lot of people will ask me, I know about my book and about the kind of work that I've been doing, and some people will say, well, is it gluten that's causing all the cancers and all this, or is it dairy, is it all? I don't think there's any one single thing, but this piece about when you think about, I think it's those allowable levels of toxicity that, in our air and our water and our food, quote-unquote allowable, that after a while the body can only take so much. Again, the other question people ask me, and I also have autoimmune problems. Why is it that so many people seem to have allergies? How many kids have allergies? How many autoimmune problems? How many people are getting cancer? And if you think about it, if you're upsetting the hormones, and that's, our stress hormone is one of those things, and you're stressing out the body, but it also affects every system in the body. Our pancreas has a hormonal element, our thyroid, that that it actually makes a whole lot of sense of why we're seeing so many health problems. It's not just the planet. I mean, the planet's obviously having health problems too, but it really is. It makes a lot of sense. But it's hard, Catherine, because we've gotten so used to having plastic and all these chemicals in our food and water and everything. So how do you respond to some people? Maybe they say, well, gosh, I'm not like you, Catherine. I haven't had a cancer scare. Plastic can't be that bad for you. I mean, they say it's safe to microwave with it and use a lot of plastic. Moderation is key. How do you respond to that question, when people talk to you and say that?
Well, I absolutely agree with you. I mean, I say all the time that maybe experiencing or coming in contact with these things every once in a while really isn't a big deal. But the fact that it's around us constantly, we are surrounded by it. It's in our clothes. Our clothes are made of plastic. Our couches are made of plastic. Our carpet's made of plastic. Our food is surrounded in plastic. And some of our furniture is plastic. And it can be incredibly overwhelming. And I want to make sure that I don't, it sounds like I hate plastic. So I want to be sure, be clear that I think plastic has allowed us to make amazing advances in the scientific and medical fields. It has allowed us to do so many amazing things, but it's a material that lasts forever and we should treat it as such. So even though it has created some very good benefits in society, it doesn't mean it needs to be covering our food. It doesn't mean that it needs to be surrounding drinks that we drink for 10 minutes and then we toss it out. It just doesn't make sense the way that we're using the material.
Mm-hmm.
So I understand, and honestly, if I hadn't had a breast cancer scare, I can't tell you whether or not I'd feel this way.
Mm-hmm.
So I totally get it.
Yeah.
How people might feel that way.
Yeah.
And I think it's just important to just start really small.
Mm-hmm.
It seems
mm-hmm.
so overwhelming because the next time you go into the grocery store and you try to find something without plastic, you're going to be like, what can I eat? There's nothing here to eat. So it takes a long time. So just as you slowly make one or two changes, once mm-hmm. you have those down and they've truly become habit, then you can look for switching something up and trying mm-hmm. something else.
And I love that. And we're going to be shifting gears in a minute talking about the holidays. But I really want you all who are listening to know this is about possibility thinking. This is about ideas. And it's not about, turning around. And I certainly am not in no place close to, one mason jar of trash even, per month. I mean, it's huge. But I'm, as I've learned more about the work, the zero waste work and Catherine's work, gradually and, one thing at a time, like figuring out what else can I do? And over time, it starts to become nice habits in terms of the zero waste or the waste reducing kinds of habits that we can do. But the holidays are a really big time around waste. And we oftentimes just look the other way and we think that it's just normal. But I'm so excited and I've wanted to do this show. I've thought about it actually since I started the show. I wanted to have Catherine ideally on the show and talking about zero waste and the holidays, but it's just been a process of unfolding. So we're, like I said, we're making the most of it this show and next. But can we just, if you can talk a little bit about, and it's related to what you were just saying, Catherine, about how do you do it, how do you find a way to not just be a party pooper, right, for the holidays, but yet still live a zero waste lifestyle?
I love holidays. Mm-hmm. And I had a failed tiny home experiment where I lived in a tiny home for a year. It was terrible. We can talk about it later.
The tiny home was living in the tiny home?
Yes, I did not enjoy it at all.
Uh-huh.
I thought I was going to, but I did not. But one of the things that made me really upset was I couldn't entertain. I couldn't. Mm-hmm. I didn't really feel like I could decorate for the holidays. And so now that I have moved into a slightly larger space, I now live in 1,200 square feet, and it's amazing, and I could cry. Mm-hmm. I'm so happy.
Mm-hmm.
And I have loved getting to decorate for the holidays.
Mm-hmm.
I think that there's so much that we can do to still celebrate, to still have fun, that doesn't revolve around creating a lot of trash.
Mm-hmm. So one of the things that I think I saw in one of your blogs was that the average American family has 25% more waste to this time of year. That kind of blew my mind.
Yep, and when you think about all the parties that you throw, all the wrapping paper you have, Halloween and Christmas are the two most decorated for holidays. So when you think about all of the things that are bought, typically very cheap, maybe even costumes, you go out and you buy a costume and it's not well made, it lasts for one night, you throw it away, or you buy decorations, and it's just typically made of very cheap materials, and it's not meant to last. And so a lot of these things just wind up as trash because maybe they last one or two holidays.
Right, right. And actually for today we're going to be talking about gifting and things like that around the holidays. But just a little heads up, because the entire next show, when Catherine comes back, she's going to be talking all about entertaining, decorating, and that sort of thing. But we are going to have to take a quick break. And we're going to be getting into the juicy stuff after the break because, like I said, we're going to start getting into talking about how do you shop, what you know, about gifting, how do you receive gifts that are more sustainable and do it in a way that is super fun and a joyous thing. So stick around. We'll be right back with Catherine after the break.
You're listening to HealthyLife.net, the radio network that brings positive talk with positive change to make your world a little better.
All right, welcome back. We're here today, if you're just joining us, we're here with the DIY Zero Waste Queen. That's what I'm calling you, Catherine Kellogg. She's talking about simple ways you can enjoy a more sustainable holiday season and not be a party pooper while doing it. Just before the break, we were talking about how there's an unbelievable amount of waste in the holidays, like crazy, crazy amount. And during the break, Catherine, you were just mentioning that there's some additional stats that can inspire everyone to make a difference. What was it you were just saying about the waste?
Well, I was reading online yesterday that Americans waste a lot of turkey every year. It's edible turkey, too, which was one of the most surprising things about it. I believe it was 200 million pounds of turkey is wasted every year. I think that's correct. I will double check for us, but I believe it was, when I was reading it was 200 million pounds of edible turkey. Edible turkey. That's what's just mind-blowing.
That is mind-blowing. That's not even just talking about the bones and making bone broth.
Right, yeah. So I think people might tend to overbuy a lot, which is something I'm definitely guilty of when it comes to purchasing food for the holidays. So I've got a couple of hacks for that.
Mm-hmm. Okay, great. Well, why don't we start with that? Let's just start with that, and then we'll get right into the whole issue of gifting, receiving gifts, and buying gifts, and making gifts, and all that. So you're going to get hacks, you know, left and right, guys, with Catherine this show and next, because she'll be on again next month talking all about food and, you know, entertaining making the decorating and so forth for the holidays next show. But go ahead with this, what you got here, pop on your head.
Yeah, so it's Americans throw away roughly 165 billion pounds of uneaten food, or I'm sorry, $165 billion in uneaten food every year, and 293 million of that waste happens during Thanksgiving alone, and they're leaving 200 million pounds of turkey, that's edible turkey, for the garbage.
That's crazy. Do you want to give us a couple of your hacks? Because we've got Turkey Day right around the corner that a lot of people have turkey.
So I think we all need to buy less. I think we get into this mindset where we're so afraid that we're going to run out of food that we overbuy. And so one of the things I like to do whenever I'm planning my parties is I always imagine that there are 15% less people coming. So if I have 20 people coming over for dinner, I'm going to cook as if I have 17 coming over. just kind of combat that overbuying syndrome. That way I still, and I still wind up with leftovers.
So there's still way too much food, right? It's still, it's so that you, it's not like you're going to be starving your guests.
Right. So you don't have to worry about that. But go ahead and just pretend that you have about 15 to 20% less people coming. And if you can kind of knock that out, then at least you'll have kind of a more reasonable amount of leftovers. Mm-hmm. And then I think having containers large enough to store your food and making sure that you are prepping it properly and then utilizing your freezer. The freezer is an amazing way to prevent food waste. And so if you have a large enough container, that way you can store all of your leftovers. Because oftentimes I know that when I've been over at family's house, they have a lot of leftovers, but they don't have containers large enough to store all of it. And so then it just has to go to waste. So at my parties, I personally like to prep my food in large mixing bowls. They're glass, like glass Pyrex bowls, so they look nice. They could be definitely used as serving bowls, but they all have lids. So that way, at the end of the night, cleanup is a total breeze, because all I have to do is just put the lid on the bowl and then put it in the fridge.
Fantastic. That's great. Super ideas. And there's going to be more of those to come. Let's talk about gifting. And again, something I hadn't even really thought that much about. But when Catherine and I were talking on the phone in preparation for the show, she was talking about how, you know, how it's tricky. About how do you receive gifts and how do you, can you talk a little bit about that? Because you've got some great tips around that and that really address the relationship issues and make it so people don't feel like, again, that you're just a killjoy for the holidays.
If you live a slightly alternative lifestyle, then you know that whenever you receive gifts from friends and family, it can kind of be a ticking time bomb because you have like no idea what you're holding. And so I think it's really important that you sit down and you talk to your friends and family about your ideas and ideals. And if you haven't, definitely a good thing to do. And I always like to make lists. I think lists are great. In my family, we're big list people. We make a list of what we want, and then that way people, because I don't think anyone wants to buy you a bad gift. I don't think anyone intentionally wants to buy something that's going to make you unhappy. That's not typically people's goal. So if you have a list that you can point them to, and next to the list, I like to describe why I want the gift. So it reinforces a reoccurring theme. So that way if they do go off the list, hopefully they will have read the list you have, and they will keep those kind of ideals in mind. So for example, on my list, I had a stainless steel drying rack, and next to it I said, I really like this drying rack because it's made of stainless steel and it has a 5-year warranty. And then maybe I listed to a toaster oven, and it also had a 5-year warranty, and I'd say, I like that it has a 5-year warranty. So by reinforcing the idea that you like warranties, it means that you want things that are made to last. And I will say, it doesn't mean I always get a perfect gift, but certainly I've gotten very, very close to it. And the time to have the conversation about what you want is way before receiving the gift and not in the moment of receiving the gift. That's that's not when you want to have the conversation. I had a friend who I didn't have the most tact. And she would receive gifts and then just rant about them. And I was like, that's not cool. Like, no one's going to want to buy you a gift. No one's going to feel like listening to you, and you're going to isolate a lot of people because no one will also want to hang out with you. So just if you wind up getting something that you don't want or doesn't align with your values, I think that you should just smile and accept it and then choose what to do with it at a later day, because the job of a gift is to be received. And so if you have received it, you have done the job. And then now you're free to do with it whatever you choose, whether that be donate it or give it to someone else.
Yeah, that's wonderful. And it's kind of like, you know, when you reach your hand out to shake someone's hand, it's, you know, if they refuse to take your hand or slap your hand for putting it out there as a kind gesture, it really doesn't bode well for relationships. So, you know, having grace in those situations, being gracious in the receiving, but that's actually a big reason why we end up deciding to have the two shows, is that Catherine was talking about the preparation. I thought, you know what, that's really important, and that's why we're doing this show. And it's more than a month before some of the bigger holidays. But it's a really valuable thing. So as time doth fly, we are going to have to go to yet another break. We'll be back with Catherine. And right after the break, we're going to talk about all kinds of great hacks for shopping for gift wrapping, and also amazing types of gifts that Catherine has to share. So stick around. We'll be right back.
HealthyLife.net, the positive radio network.
Welcome back to the Dr. Teresa Nicasio Show. If you're just joining us today, we're here with the author of the upcoming book, 101 Ways to Go Zero Waste, talking with Catherine Kellogg. She's also the founder of Going Zero Waste. And we're talking today about holiday gifting. So, Catherine, I'm just going to let you rip. You've got so much knowledge. Let it fly about your ideas about gifts and shopping and packaging.
Of course. So whenever giving gifts, I still wrap my gifts, but instead of using plastic wrapping paper, I will use things like brown paper or even wrap it in a gift itself, which is something my mom and I used to do all the time when I was growing up. So we would assemble these like little kits together and we put them in a cute tote bag or a cute basket, and the gift and the gift wrap are both gifts, so it's kind of like a double gift. And I always think that's a really great way to go about gifting. Or even I will wrap my gifts in a cloth napkin or a beautiful like silk scarf you can pick up at the thrift store, and I like to tie them either in knots, or you can put like a brooch on them. There's so many ways that you can wrap gifts that doesn't involve creating a lot of trash, because I think one of the major ways of trash creation of holidays, beyond all the stuff being bought, is all of the wrapping. Mm-hmm. And so if your grandma saved wrapping paper like mine did, she was doing a really good job of reducing and reusing and recycling. Mm-hmm. And I know a lot of people use gift bags these days, which are great because you can keep using the gift bags and the tissue paper over and over and over again. So mm-hmm. if that's what you already have, then definitely keep using that for as long as possible.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, so that idea of reusing what you have already, going to thrift stores and at least not creating new consumables. Or not non-consumables, I should say.
Yes.
So in terms of the actual gifts, what are some easy gifts? If people are going, well, what can I give someone if there's zero waste? It's hard to give them anything. You're mentioning scarves and totes and that. What else? What else are some kinds of gifts that people can receive and give to each other?
So I kind of like to divide these into two different categories, which are acquaintances that you want to give a gift that you don't want to spend time with, and then there are the people that are close to you that you do want to spend time with. And so, like I said, I kind of have those divided into two separate categories, because there's a lot of people like our mailman or someone that we maybe see every day that we really want to show appreciation for, but that doesn't mean we want to go sit down and have a cup of coffee with them. Because I personally find experience gifts to be some of the best gifts, and so for my husband and I, we gift each other tickets every year for Christmas, and we do something. So we kind of like set up like a big date day for the following year. So typically I buy him tickets to go see his beloved Celtics play, and then he typically mm-hmm. buys me tickets to go to the opera or the theater. And so it's mm-hmm. just really a nice way for us to exchange these gifts, and we also get to spend time with each other, which is really nice because it's something that we're prioritizing. And that's also great if you are with someone. My family is pretty far away, and so, you know, sometimes you do want to buy an experience gift for someone to do for themselves. So for my mom, I might buy her a certificate to go to the spa, and she loves that.
Nice. And then, I mean, who's not going to like that, right?
Right. And so I think also when people think about experience gifts, they tend to think that they're pricier items, because, I mean, the three that I just mentioned are fairly pricey. But it doesn't have to be super expensive. I actually have a great list on my blog where I've organized experience gifts by cost of price. And so for a friend, I will even call them up and maybe take them out to coffee as a gift, and or take them to the cupcake shop, and we'll just sit down and we'll have a couple hours together and we'll like spend time chatting, and it's just so lovely to carve out some time. And I find the best way to do that, because oftentimes those gifts like coffee or grabbing a drink with someone or taking someone out to dinner, they don't necessarily come with physical items you can hand to someone. Mm-hmm. So I think maybe creating a card or even calling, but I think the appropriate way to approach it is to offer three different dates to say, hey, I bought this, and here are three different dates. Which one would you like to choose? And then you both get it on your calendar, and then you actually commit to it. Because if you just say to someone, yeah, Merry Christmas, I want to buy you a cup of coffee, and you don't put a date down, it just feels mm-hmm. kind of empty.
And yeah, so and it often doesn't happen.
Right, exactly. Yes. And so I have experience with that right now. I bought my friend a best friend's massage for us for her birthday.
Mm-hmm.
That's a double gift. That's what I call a double gift. It's where you are rewarded as well as the person.
I love that double gift concept. That's the best, huh?
Yes. Mm-hmm. And so I bought that for her, also for me. And we get to spend time with each other. So, I mean, it's a win all the way around.
It's like
but
a triple gift.
I bought it
yeah.
for her. I told her about it, and I didn't follow my own advice, and I didn't offer her three dates. And it's November. Her birthday was in August, and we still haven't gone.
Yeah.
So as soon as we hang up, I'm going to call her. I'm going to give her three dates, and we're going to go.
Perfect. That's perfect. And I love your list. A list of like 50 experience gifts divided by the, you know, like when you look at things, a single, you know, like really inexpensive or free, and then, you know, two dollar signs, three dollar signs, four dollar signs, whatever. Yes, and so you also talk about, as I mentioned, consumable gifts, like things that you can use. Can you talk a little bit about some of those, some great gift ideas around those?
Yes, so I think a lot of us might be familiar with like baking cookies or maybe making candles and giving those out, which I think is so much fun. And also it's great if you can have a friend over and you can spend time together making these sort of gifts. Because like I said, you know, maybe a small gift card for coffee for your mailman or something like that, but also physically maybe you want to give someone something. And so you could spend time making something, whether that's food. I think a lot of people are overwhelmed with sweets around this time of year, so I think there are people immediately assume food because food is consumable. But there are so many things we could offer, like a nice bottle of olive oil, a bottle of wine. Whenever I go over to someone's house for dinner, sometimes maybe a fresh loaf of bread. Flowers are consumable gifts, you know, and they're compostable, so it's great. We don't have to worry about creating, like, a lot of trash with that. But as well, there are products that we can make, like candles or bath salts are always a ton of fun. And I even like making my own spice mixes and giving those out. I think it's just a really fun way to kind of celebrate the holiday, physically give someone a gift that's more typically less expensive than buying an experience gift.
Mm-hmm. And it's so much more fun to receive when it's been created. And so you guys don't even have to wonder about how you can do this on her blog. And again, I have links to her blog. I have links to even specifics of some of these gift ideas right on the TeresaNicasio.com on her page that I've created for her. So easy to find. She actually gives you all the recipes that she has been creating through her journey. And so you don't have to wonder about what's the best one to do and if it's a healthy way, you can count on what Catherine has to offer. It's fantastic. What about some of these would be some of your favorite stocking stuffers too? Are there any others that stand out for you when you think about stocking stuffers or even last minute zero waste gifts that you can just give to someone pretty easily?
Yeah, so a lot of those DIYs, like bath salts, are one of the simplest things to make. It's literally salt.
Mm-hmm.
And then you just like can add in maybe any essential oil that you want or some fresh herbs, or I'm sorry, dried herbs from like your garden. You can create those. It's so simple. You can put it in a mason jar. It's just a gorgeous little gift that you can tie up. That's a great last minute gift, I think, because it's just so, so simple to make.
Mm-hmm.
And, you know, I want to say I don't think that there's anything wrong with buying something for someone. I don't mm-hmm. think there's anything wrong with that at all. I just think that we should make sure that it's something they truly, truly want, and that, especially for kids, as kids are just inundated with a ton of toys, sometimes I think spending time with that it might actually be a better gift, that way you're spending time with them, maybe buying them passes to a museum, something that they can use for education over and over and over.
Yes, there's just so many great things. All right, guys, we still have more goodness with Catherine when we return. We're going to take a short break, so stick around. We'll be right back.
Radio your way. HealthyLife.net.
Welcome Welcome back. You are listening to the Dr. Teresa Nicasio Show. And if you're just tuning in, we have with us today the founder of Going Zero Waste and the author of 101 Ways to Go Zero Waste. And today we're focusing on holidays because it is the holiday season. And Catherine Kellogg is giving us some hot tips on gifting and receiving gifts and so forth. Before the break, she talked a little bit about some of the great things we can make, but also that there's some things you can buy that are great holiday gifts that are also zero waste or low waste. Can you talk a little bit about that?
So I don't think there's anything wrong with purchasing gifts. While I prefer to favor experience gifts and consumable gifts, I also think that if someone really needs something or really wants something, then there's nothing wrong with buying that for them. And so for me, you know, that I do put physical things on my list that I may be looking for around the home. You know, when I first, you know, was living in California, we just moved into a new place. We didn't have anything. So for Christmas, you know, I was asking for things like dish towels or a new drying rack or, you know, maybe a new pot or a new pan that I really needed. So just make sure that you're asking people what they want and what they need. And because I know that a lot of, especially younger people that are starting out, are asking for those kind of things because it's something that they really do need in their lives to help make their lives easier.
Mm-hmm. And like last year, I bought some stainless steel, and I had already bought a couple of glass straws because my daughter loves to use straws, and I just don't believe in plastic straws. And that was in the stockings, right? And it was a hit. And you want to, it's like, that's one of the kinds of things. And the other thing that I learned from you and some others who are in this is about toothbrushes even, which is kind of a funny idea for a gift. But can you talk a little bit about the toothbrushes that are zero waste and why those might be worth checking out?
I love giving brushless bamboo toothbrushes and stockings. I agree with you. I think kind of sneaking in some easy, low-waste swaps for people as gifts isn't always the worst idea, like maybe gifting cloth produce bags or reusable bags or something like that to help people reduce their waste, I think is a great kind of sneaky gift, especially for friends and family. But I love brushless bamboo toothbrushes. They are, I personally just really like the bristles. It's my favorite toothbrush I've ever used, and the company is amazing. They're based in Los Angeles, and it's just a super eco-friendly company. They ripped their entire lawn up and turned it into this amazing permaculture garden. They actually created a whole new farm, and they do, like, CSAs, and it's just, it's such an amazing family. And so Brush with Bamboo, it's a great stocking stuffer.
So Brush with Bamboo is the company that you love the most?
Yes, and so their bamboo, the base of the toothbrush is made with bamboo, so that way at the end of its life you can compost it, which is amazing.
That is so amazing and so fantastic. Well, can you talk a little bit about your book? Because you have a book that it's already written, I think, and it's going to be available, but you can already pre-order it. Can you talk a little bit about that and what you're wanting to do with that book?
Yes, I'm so excited. My final read-through I have to turn in tomorrow, so thank you for reminding me about that. But it's a ton of fun. It's a kind of a practical handbook. It's 101 tips, and you can read it straight through, or you can just jump to different sections that you might need or different sections that you might want to start with. So it makes it really, really easy for you. So if there's any question you have, you can pretty much just go to the index. You can find the answer. You can look. You can read. You can have all of the information right there. And I had so much fun writing it. There are a lot of new DIY recipes. If you go to my blog, you'll wonder what happened to all the DIY recipes that I was really known for. And that's because I have around, I believe, 50 new recipes that are going to be in the book that are cleaning recipes and beauty recipes, you know, like making your own lotion or making your own tinted lip balm or making your own perfume or anything like that. All of those recipes are going to be in that book. And there's a lot of information in there that's not on my blog.
Oh, my gosh. You are just so full of goodness. So full of ideas. If you had one takeaway for our listeners today, Catherine, what would you like people to walk away with? Because there's so much goodness, and they just go to your website and can find lots of that stuff. But what would you like to take them in their doggy bag?
So, yeah, we've packed a lot in here, and it can be really overwhelming. And so the one thing I would just want people to take away with is just to try one new thing. Just one. Just try one new thing. Pick anyone you want, but just try one and then commit to it. Whether that's bringing your bags to the grocery store, whether that's not using any new wrapping paper this year, whether that's maybe going for, you know, all plastic-free gifts, or maybe doing experience gifts for everyone. Just one simple takeaway I hope that you'll get and just truly implement.
I love that, and I love your focus that it's not about perfection, it's not about judgment, it's just about making better choices and, you know, one thing at a time and relishing in that, and then, you know, we can always down the road make another one single next right action kind of idea. So that's really helpful. Is there anything else you'd like to share before we start to close up here?
Well, that's it for me. We've got another episode coming up, so I got to save something.
Yes, yes. So next episode is going to be all about, as we've touched on earlier, we are going to be talking all about decorating and entertaining and food, great DIYs for the holidays. So it's more about the holidays, but getting more, because it's going to be right upon us, some of those. And so you know, folks, you're going to want to come back for that as well. And be sure to let everybody you know about this show, because even when it's live now, but then it will be a recording will be available. It will also be streamed during other airing times, and so let people know. And even after it'll be as long as I can do anything about it, because eventually I'll make it into a YouTube. Even after it's no longer even on the network, it's always there at the TeresaNicasio.com website. So. But I want to thank you. I want to thank you for joining us, Catherine, today. This was really, really helpful.
Yes, thank you so much for having me.
And thank all of you out there listening for tuning in today. I hope you've enjoyed today's program. I also want to thank our fantastic sponsor, New Roots Herbal, for making this show possible. And to learn more about all the incredible guests like Catherine and all the other amazing people we've had and will be having on the show, and to access loads of free wellness resources, be sure to visit my website at TeresaNicasio.com. That's TeresaNicasio.com. I'm Teresa, and this has been the Dr. Teresa Nicasio Show. Until next time, have a great week.